This is an iHeart podcast.
We're going to talk about being sandwiched, someone on top, someone on bottom. And no, Kamala Harris isn't featured on the show tonight. We're going to talk about the open borders, culture wars, that and more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about the why. The why is always the most interesting question, is it not? Not just analyzing what we see every day, this soundbite, this headline, but what's the why behind it all? What's the why? What's the why? Well, right now you're seeing something going on across the United States of America, but it's nothing new for you. Frankly, if you're someone on the right, you've gotten used to this. A violent commie protest going on. They're going on all over the place. Here they are.
Wow,
that's a good one. You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, we're all Hamas.
What do you think about the USA?
What do you think about the USA?
What do I think about the USA?
Your shirt!
Death to America!
My shirt. What do you think about them burning the American flag?
I love it. Burn it down. Burn it again and again and again.
What do you think about Osama bin Laden and 9/11?
He did what he did because he had to do it.
So it was justified?
I said what I said.
Okay. Honestly, you're probably not even upset. I'm not. Doesn't even get my blood pressure up. Why? I'm used to it. We saw the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, street animals burning down the country during George Floyd's protests. We've seen this after elections, before elections, during elections. We're used to this. You remember after Roe versus Wade got overturned that pregnancy centers were firebombed, vandalized all over the country. We'll get to that in a moment. But why? Well, there are lots of reasons why the street animals do what they do, no question about it. Those individuals, every person you've seen there, there are reasons. Maybe it's mental illness. Maybe it's just they had parents or educators or parents and educators who taught them that America sucked. Maybe they're on drugs. Many of those people are on drugs. Maybe they're just people who hate themselves. We could go into all those details, but that's not the why we're dealing with here. Why are street communist protests so common in the United States of America? With the vandalism, the assaults, the murder, the everything else, everything that comes with it, they're very common here. They're all over the place. Well, that's interesting. I'm glad you asked that question. Let's come back to that question, shall we? Christopher Wray just sat down to do a sit-down interview, and he was asked, you know, hey, all these protests, are you guys looking into that stuff?
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence with campuses, with state and local law enforcement, but we don't monitor protests.
Protests? What? Monitor? You mean you want us to look into them? No, man, that's not what we do. That's not what we do. Now, pause for a moment. Pause. I know what you're saying right now. You're rolling your eyes. Maybe you're chucking stuff at the TV saying, Jesse, that's exactly what they do. Think about what they did on January 6th. Okay, I got you. I got you. Just stay with me for a moment. Stay with me for a moment. I saw that interview, and it reminded me of this little gem. Remember, I just brought up the firebombing. Right after Roe versus Wade got overturned, all these commie street animals across America started vandalizing and throwing Molotov cocktails into these pregnancy centers, these pro-life centers that really, they're wonderful places. They're out there helping young women have a baby, free ultrasounds. They're just wonderful places. And they were getting firebombed all over the country, and there just weren't arrests, maybe one or two here or there, but the FBI wasn't getting any of these people. And Merrick Garland sat in front of Congress and he was asked why. And this is what he said.
I will say you're quite right. There are many more prosecutions with respect to the blocking of the abortion centers. But that is generally because those actions are taken with photography at the time, during the daylight. And seeing the person who did it is quite easy. Those who are attacking the pregnancy resources centers, which is a horrid thing to do, are doing this at night in the dark. We have put full resources on this.
I'm trying not to laugh. You probably are, too. It's that absurd, isn't it? It's every bit as absurd, if not more absurd, than what Christopher Wray just said. Oh, the terrorists? The street terrorists? Man, that is really bad, and we are upset, but gosh, guys, it's so dark. We're the Justice Department and the FBI, but we can't see in the dark. If someone commits a crime in the dark, our hands are tied. They'll get away with it every time. It's laughably ridiculous, isn't it? So why do they say that? Merrick Garland is the top law enforcement officer in America. Christopher Wray, you could argue, as director of the FBI, is number two. Look, it's not unreasonable to say. So that's the top two law enforcement officers in America giving ridiculous excuses why they just can't seem to crack down on these dirty communists. So why? Well, you know what's going on. You understand that. If you've watched this show for any length of time, you understand exactly what's going on. What's going on is good people are sandwiched. That would be you, normal Americans. Law-abiding American citizens are currently being attacked from the top and from the bottom. And the communists work with each other. The two different brands of communism, two different divisions, they're not the same, but they work with each other. The elite communist scum at the top, the Joe Bidens, the Christopher Wrays, the Bill Gates of the world, the people who really hold power, the judges, so on and so forth. Who are they? Well, they're communists, but not really true believers. They don't care about any of the causes. They just understand they're a bunch of very violent, very stupid people they can use their anger to get for themselves more money and power. They don't believe in any of these causes, Black Lives Matter, climate change, or whatever. They don't believe in those things, but they do have an important role to play, a critically important role to play. You see, the elite communists, they want more money and power for themselves. And what they need to achieve more money and power for themselves is sometimes they need things done, violent things even. Maybe they need a Supreme Court justice assassinated. Remember when they just tried to kill Brett Kavanaugh? Maybe you just need this Republican event to get shut down. Whatever you may need, you need it done, and Chuck Schumer can't go do it. So what do? Well, you need your street communist scum, the second division, you need them to step in and be your hands and feet, to be your enforcement arm. Now, the street communist scum, these are who? Who are these people? These are the ones we talked about. Mentally ill, most of them. All of them very, very stupid. It's stupid people get taken advantage of. That's just part of life. They are true believers, I'll give them that. Even though they generally don't understand why, they really think man is warming the climate and stuff like that. So they are true believers, and they're violent. They're very, very violent. In fact, they believe in violence. And why, back to the question we asked in the beginning, why do they do what they do? Why are they all over America? Why are they shutting down highways? Why are they shutting down college campuses? Why are they shutting down pro-life centers? Because they are protected by the elites. The elites have a job. Their job is to direct the street communist scum and then to protect the street communist scum. Did you know that the street communist scum problem in this country, that it could be cleaned up like that? Do you understand that you could stop, you know, shutting down a highway? You could stop that immediately, right now. It would, and in fact, it would be easy, and you wouldn't have to do anything illegal and nothing violent, no vigilante justice, no running them over, nothing like that. Simple law, quick law, automatic 5-year prison sentence. No, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Boom, anyone blocking a highway, done, gone. You would never have the problem again. Even as mentally ill and sick as these people are, if that protection was taken away from them, if it was removed from them, you would never see these protests again. But these protests are ramping up because good people are sandwiched. The elite communist scum on the top, the street communist scum at the bottom. And that is important to understand about the system we have here. When Christopher Wray sits down and gives an answer like that, when Merrick Garland sits down and she gives an answer like that, you should understand they're not speaking to you, they're speaking to the street communists. they're letting them know, hey guys, go get them. That is why you see what you see. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have bad Republicans, lots of them. We're going to discuss them and their weakness in just a moment. Before we discuss them and their weakness, let's discuss who stands with us. There are all kinds of people who stand against us. We talk about it all the time. But who stands with us? Well, in the corporate world, that's very hard to find now. I admit it is. It is. One of the reasons I love Blackout Coffee so much is it's not just that they stand with us, they advertise it. While every other corporation is out there championing Black Lives Matter and this and that, here's Blackout Coffee. Pro-life, God, guns, and coffee. It's not like Blackout Coffee is just kind of quietly with us. They're in your face about it. We believe in things here, and I believe in them. And also, they deliver me the best coffee ever. And by the way, you can buy these mugs too. 20% off your first order. BlackoutCoffee.com/Jesse is how you get that 20% off. May I recommend a mug? Join me with that. BlackoutCoffee.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Sometimes I struggle with something. I'm just going to be honest with you here. Sometimes I struggle with bitterness and hatred. I'm going to explain why. All right, I showed up today. We get all kinds of emails to the show, and I love your emails. But I showed up today, and I got this email. I'm just going to read it for you. And as I was reading it, I could actually feel the vein in my head start to pulse a little bit. Here it is. Hey, Jesse. I feel like a complete failure as a man, husband, and father. I just applied for EBT, welfare. We just can't make it with things costing what they do. We just don't have any money to pay for anything, let alone food. We've been eating ramen for a few months and getting eggs from a few chickens in the backyard. Hopefully the garden will be better this year. I'm a farmer and crop prices are at historic lows with record input costs, and things aren't going to get better anytime soon. I'm dying here, man. And as I read that, I think just honestly, I don't even have to go back to ancient history. I think about just the past couple weeks. I think about House of Representatives waving Ukrainian flags on the floor as they passed 90-some billion dollars in money for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, just money here, money there. And I think about this farmer, welfare farmer, now on welfare, humiliated. He shouldn't be, but humiliated. I think about him. I think about $300 million. Did you know that's the amount of money the Biden administration is sending to sanctuary cities? It's your money. They took $300 million from welfare farmers' wallet, and they're sending it to sanctuary cities to pay for food, shelter, housing, education, medical care for illegal immigrants. As a farmer sits there desperate, living desperately, illegal immigrants in this country are being showered with gifts. I think about money for Chinese solar panels so Joe Biden's family can keep getting rich. And I shouldn't actually even single out Joe Biden. It's Democrats, it's Republicans. Just millions, billions, billions of dollars sent overseas to China so they can build us solar panels while the government just blood sucks your money and hands it out to them and hands it out to them. Money for them, money for them, money for them, money for them. You never get a break. You never get a tax break. You're sitting there watching your groceries go crazy. And what do we get from our government? Here was Mitch McConnell. This is what we get.
I think the demonization of Ukraine began by Tucker Carlson, who, in my opinion, ended up where he should have been all along, which is interviewing Vladimir Putin. And so he had an enormous audience, which convinced a lot of rank-and-file Republicans that maybe this was a mistake.
Have you ever heard Mitch McConnell talk about Democrats with the same disdain he just talked about Tucker Carlson with? No, of course you haven't. He doesn't care about you. These people, Republican and Democrat, they just don't care about welfare farmer. They don't ever wake up and think about you at all. You never cross their mind. You're just something they can blood suck. You're like a dairy cow to these people. They'll show up in the morning and suck all the taxpayer money out of you and then go back and hand it out to their friends. And I'll tell you, I'm really struggling with bitterness right now. I am. I really hate these people. A lot. I do. A lot. Emails like that just bring it out of me. I can't help it. There's that. Anyway, whatever. At least my feet are comfortable. How are your feet? At the end of the day, how are your feet? Most people's feet hurt. They have these sore spots, or they're tired. You ever just kind of have tired feet? You ever at the end of the day just reach down and just rub them? Why does that hurt so bad? It hurts so bad because you don't have the right shoes. Gravity Defier will change your life. It really genuinely will. Every single pair comes with custom orthotics made for you specifically. Your feet hurt at the end of the day because your shoes aren't made for you. Your shoes are made for everyone who happens to have that particular shoe size. Well, everyone's feet are different. How could you have the same shoe for everyone? Of course your feet hurt. Of course my feet hurt. Change your entire life, whether you're standing all day, sitting all day, running around with the kids. Try some Gravity Defier shoes is what you need to do. Go to GDEFY.com and use the promo code Jesse. GDEFY.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Republicans were sent there, and the number one issue that our voters wanted them to address is the southern border and the massive influx of foreigners by the millions coming into this country, and we don't know who these people are, and they basically just surrendered on the border. They now have no leverage to do anything on the border.
I'm not going to fund both sides of a war. I'm not going to spend $100 billion we don't have unpaid for to then walk away from securing the border of the United States, and that is what the speaker did.
This is the third betrayal by Mike Johnson. He delivered a two-part omnibus, funded the Department of Justice, 91 federal indictments against President Trump, funded the FBI that raided Mar-a-Lago, gave him a brand new FBI building, funded Joe Biden's open border policies that are killing Americans every single day. Then he reauthorized FISA that spied on American citizens, spied on President Trump's campaign, and he voted against the warrant requirement, the same warrant requirement that he was for 6 months ago. And then he did this here on the House floor, foreign war package that does nothing for America. It's unbelievable.
That sounds bad, doesn't it? Let's talk to Steve about it. Joining me now, Steve Cortez. You need to subscribe to his Substack called Patria. I think I said that right. You can correct me if I'm wrong,
yes.
Steve. Anyway, you have a piece on it talking about surrender Republicans. Please, Steve, the floor is yours.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you started there, by the way, with Ron DeSantis, who I think is by far the best governor in America, talking about Speaker Mike Johnson, who is unfortunately taking the dubious title, I think, of the worst Republican speaker ever. And that's not an easy mark to achieve, because previously we had a child molester as a Republican speaker. But Mike Johnson right now is on his way to being even worse than Dennis Hastert. And I say that in part, by the way, because he broke what was previously known as the Hastert rule, which means you do not bring to the floor legislation which your own party, a majority of your own party, does not support. But Mike Johnson did exactly that. He passed funding for Ukraine, which a majority of his own caucus of Republicans opposed. That means that he is, if anything, a decent speaker for the Democrats. I won't say he's a good speaker for them, because it didn't rise to the level of Pelosi when it comes to being a gangster and getting things done for the Democrats, but he's at least getting things done for the Democrats. The reality is Johnson is unfortunately exhibit A right now of why so many people are frustrated in America, so many salt of the earth, America first citizens, because sometimes even when it seems like we win, we lose because our leaders, our feckless leaders like Mike Johnson in Washington, D.C., do not know how to exercise power and they don't have the backbone when it comes down to when the rubber meets the road. They don't have the backbone to stand on principle, principles that he was enunciating, by the way, as recently as weeks ago. So this isn't like he evolved on policy. This was a capitulation and it was a Republican surrender.
Why, Steve? Why is this an all-the-time thing? Honestly, I told everyone on my show 2 weeks ago. I told them FISA's going to pass, the foreign aid bill is going to pass, everything's going to go through. And it's not like I was Nostradamus. I'm sure you were saying the same things. We all just knew. We all knew it's built in. The GOP leadership is going to sell out the GOP base. Why does the GOP leadership hate the GOP base?
You know, I think there's a couple of reasons, and I'll give you sort of my less cynical but still cynical explanation, and that is that in this case specifically, when it comes to things like FISA and to things like the foreign wars bill, they are fooled, they're hoodwinked by the intelligence community. And by the way, Mike Johnson told us this. He said, literally, you know, I got my briefing from them, my secretive briefing. I can't tell you what I learned, but believe me, it's terrible. And because of that, I'm going to send almost $100 billion that we don't have, that we're going to borrow overseas. So I think they are manipulated in a sort of straightforward way by the intelligence community. But I also give you my much more cynical read, and I can't say this with any proof, but I think that all signs point this way, is that these people are also compromised, that there is information about them that perhaps the intelligence community knows, and it is able to basically put people like Mike Johnson over a barrel and say, do this or else. Now, again, I don't know that, but all the signs certainly point that way. When you have somebody like Mike Johnson, who seems to be a decent enough guy, certainly in his personal life, seems like he's a good Christian man, good father, husband, all of that. And yet for him to betray his word in this quick a manner, I mean, in this short order, to completely capitulate and acquiesce to the Democrats and effectively become the speaker for the Democrats, it tells you there's something here that's not necessarily obvious that is going on behind the scenes, because you're right. And this is why it's so befuddling. It's so frustrating to millions of Americans out there. Now, listen, I would say, what do we do? Because we can't just complain. We can't just curse the darkness. So what do we do about this? Well, it's going to be difficult to keep the House, in part because of Mike Johnson, by the way, who, to boot, not only does he betray us on principle, he's also a terrible fundraiser. So it's going to be hard to keep the House. But if we do keep the House, it better be with Republican candidates who pledge that they are going to put a real speaker in there, somebody who believes in America first principles, somebody who is not going to prioritize the border of eastern Ukraine over the border of the southern United States. So thankfully, we do at least have an opportunity to try to rectify this as citizens into November.
Steve, can I ask you something? And you can just give it to me between the eyes. It's fine. I know we're on camera, but you say we might not be able to keep the House.
Yeah.
Why should I care? And allow me to explain. Why should I care? Yeah. So the GOP gives me endless foreign money. The GOP just got done trying for a massive amnesty bill that guaranteed amnesty for everybody. The GOP doesn't even bother fighting culture wars anymore. Hey, we love abortion. Now we don't want to lose elections. Up gay marriage for everyone. So the GOP spends more money, frankly, as much or more than Democrats do. They do every single time. I'm going down the list of issue after issue after issue after issue. And I understand that Joe Biden's bad and the Democrats are evil. And I get all that. But why should I sit and lose 1 minute of sleep that the GOP might lose the House of Representatives in November? And I really want you to tell me, Steve, give it to me.
Yeah.
Why should I give a crap?
I hear what you're saying, and generally I would agree with you with this major caveat, and this I think is a compelling reason that I hope will motivate the audience out there why we do need a Republican House. Because if Hakeem Jeffries is the Speaker of the House and Donald Trump is the President of the United States, and I believe both those things are probably going to happen given current trajectories, if that happens, they are going to impeach Donald Trump in a nanosecond, particularly if Donald Trump is convicted in New York, which I think he will be in this circus kangaroo court sham trial that's going on in New York City. If he is convicted, they will have at least a pretense of a reason, a patina that they can use to engage immediately in impeachment proceedings. And I don't want Donald Trump to take office for his second term, which I think can be really, really effective. And I think in many ways better than his first term was. But if he is immediately thrown into impeachment, which I think he would be if the Democrats control the House, then it will be incredibly difficult for him to get things done. It would be almost like the Russia hoax was during the first administration. So that would be my most compelling argument. I agreed with you. I can't come up with many other ones, but I think that's a really important reason why we should keep the House and absolutely they'll elect a new speaker if we do keep the House, not feckless Mike Johnson.
Okay. All right. Well, it's something. Look, I asked. All right. Let's talk about our border. You have a great piece up in American Greatness about our border. And man, it's really bad.
Yeah. It's terrible. As a matter of fact, I was there last week filming a documentary, which should be out soon. But the migrant pain, what I also want to point out is it's not just, of course, at America's front door in Arizona. It is all over this country. And so I wrote this piece for American Greatness talking about migrant pain all the way up in Wisconsin, 2,000 miles away from the U.S. southern border. And I highlight a town called Whitewater, Wisconsin. It's a very pleasant little place. I've been there. It's basically a college town. It's a satellite campus of University of Wisconsin, 15,000 people. They have 1,000 migrants in a town of 15,000, 1,000 migrants who have arrived since Biden became president. Illegal migrants from Venezuela and Nicaragua. And the town is absolutely overwhelmed. The police department is, the schools are. This is, again, 2,000 miles away from the United States southern border. And when we poll Wisconsinites, by the way, what we find is that they are as up in arms about the border as folks in Arizona are. That is the reality because they are living with the consequences. And for example, Lake and Riley, which needs to be a better known story, but because it's so horrific, that's at least somewhat widely known, at least on the political right, that story. A lot of folks probably don't know about a man named Steve Nashholm in Wisconsin near Rice Lake in northern Wisconsin. He was killed, father of three, husband, young man, his whole life still ahead of him, wonderful family, young man who was killed by a drunk driver who had been previously came into this country illegally under Joe Biden's open borders, had been previously arrested for DUI in the state of Wisconsin, instead of being deported, was allowed to continue to roam the streets of Wisconsin and ultimately killed this father. These cases, unfortunately, are not isolated. I mean, I've just named two of them, but unfortunately, I could go on and on. So the consequences, economic, street safety, national security, they are nationwide from an open border. And my point is, voters in places like Wisconsin, which could be a determinative state, I mean, it could very well decide who's president come fall, they are very, very angry. Even the ones who are somewhat sympathetic to Biden on other issues, they're very, very angry about the border. This is a fulcrum issue. And to me, along with the economy, these are the two most compelling value propositions for Donald Trump for winning over persuadable voters.
Who are they angry at, Steve? And I ask this question because people on the right, everyone watching this show, everyone who watches your wonderful stuff that you do, reads your stuff, they're going to make the, you know, linear argument, the logical argument. I'm upset about illegal immigration. Okay, who's at fault for that? Who's in charge right now? Democrats are at fault. Then I will therefore go to the polls and I will punish the people who opened up the border. But the general public does not think that way oftentimes. It's one thing to be mad about the border. It's another thing to place blame where it belongs. Who are they mad at?
No, this, it's a great question. And because the corporate media has done a good job of burying these terrible stories about the consequences of illegal migration, we have work to do. But once people are informed, they do blame Joe Biden. Now, let me back that up, you know, again, with the polling that we just did. So in Wisconsin, again, critical swing state, I think will likely decide the presidency, either Wisconsin or Michigan. But in the state of Wisconsin, among likely voters, only half of them really know, for example, about the Lake and Riley story. 50% said that they know nothing or very little about the Lake and Riley story. Now, of that other half that tells us they do know either a great deal or a good bit about the Lake and Riley story, when we ask, do you blame Joe Biden for her death, for her tragic murder? 70% of them say yes. So if they are informed about the full consequences, they do absolutely blame Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who's allegedly the border czar. That tag, by the way, I think we need to put on her into this campaign. because that also, by the way, number one, it's true, so it's important for people to know that. But also, the more we can bring up Kamala Harris's name, I think the better, because we also need to reinforce in voters' minds, as terrible and dreadful and as much of a failure as Joe Biden has been, if you are voting for Joe Biden, remember, you are voting for Kamala Harris, because the chance of Joe Biden lasting 5 years from now in the presidency, I think even his supporters would concede is next to zero. So I think that's also an added benefit of bringing her up in relation to this border failure. But look, we have work to do. Corporate media is not doing its job. We don't have an honest press in this country anymore. So those of us who are activists need to do all we can, use every platform we can to make sure all Americans should know about Laken Riley. Every single American should know what happened to her. Totally preventable crime, illegal migrant who crossed illegally into this country, was arrested two more times for serious crimes before he decided in broad daylight to kill a precious 22-year-old beautiful American college student on the University of Georgia campus. That story needs to be known. And if it is, I think that the reasonable patriotic people of America will place blame where it belongs on Joe Biden, and we can win this election.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. Steve, thank you, brother, as always. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Jesse.
All right. Culture. America's culture. It's under attack. We are fighting legal battles, and these are important battles, and we're going to discuss those legal battles as we speak. But it is important to understand we have a system in place where criminals are protected. You just heard Steve. Criminals are protected in this country, nurtured, provided for. So when it comes to protecting yourself from criminals, it's up to you. It's up to you. Go ahead, call the cops. They're busy down at the local illegal shelter trying to provide pupusas for all the new arrivals. You're on your own with that dangerous man in a dark parking lot. Can you stop him from hurting you? That's what BYRNA is all about. BYRNA. These are non-lethal pistol launchers. What do they shoot them? Pepper balls. They hurt just when they hit you. Whap! But then it's this pepper powder that is just debilitating. Or tear gas balls, or they have a mixture of the two. This is legal in all 50 states. No background check needed, no permit needed. I carry lethal and non-lethal. But no matter what, whether you carry like I do, or whether maybe you hate guns, get a BYRNA pistol launcher. It'll save your life, all right? BYRNA.com/Jesse saves you 10%. We'll be back. Well, in the ongoing assault of every part of our culture, the Biden administration actually dug its dirty fingers into Title IX rules recently. Now, Title IX is one of those things confuses a lot of people. They don't understand even what it was, what's it turned into. I don't want to be the one to explain it to you. I'm stupid. But Kimberly Herman is not, and she joins us now. She is the executive director of the Southeastern Legal Foundation. Okay, Kim. Act like I just got here from Mars. Title IX, before we get into what Biden did, what was it? What is it?
Absolutely. So back in 1972, Congress stepped in and passed what we all refer to as Title IX. It was part of amendments to our Civil Rights Act. And all Title IX does is it says that the government, so our schools, right, who receive government money, our K-12 schools, our public colleges, that they cannot discriminate on the basis of sex. This afforded women the ability to participate in educational programs that they were previously excluded from. So we typically will hear Title IX in the context of sports, because as Title IX was implemented, it ensured that women were able to have sports teams, that they had the same number and equal opportunities when it came to athletics, educational programs, classrooms, you name it, right? Clubs, organizations, anything that deals with education. The problem now is that we have the Biden administration that came in, and on Friday, they released a new definition of sex. So for decades and decades, hundreds of years, right, we've had sex defined as a man or a woman. Now, sex includes sexual stereotypes, gender identity. Basically, anything that you want to consider sex can now be considered sex, and it eviscerates the idea that we have men and women in society that need to be protected through equality and through our Civil Rights Act. It guts everything and every protection that Title IX has ever afforded to women, and again, it literally ends the distinction between genders and sexes in this country.
Well, that doesn't sound good. Okay, so it's another massive tranny handout program. I did see the Louisiana education director told schools to ignore it, and I find this to be fascinating, Kim, because this very clearly is the way it's going to go in the future. But I guess to put it bluntly, can he do that? Can they do that? Can states just say no? What happens if they just say no?
We were very glad when we saw Louisiana come out and say that they were telling their schools to not follow this new Title IX rule. It's not effective until August. And so what you're going to see is you're going to see a race to the courts now, right? This rule, once it's formally published in the Federal Register, is going to be challenged in courtrooms all across the country because of a few reasons. The Department of Education, quite frankly, does not have the power to unilaterally change the definition of sex for all Americans. That's something that Congress wants, that has the power to do, right? If Congress wanted to do it, then they could have done it to begin with, or they could go back and they could do it now. This is a federal statute. The Department of Education is a federal agency, and they just do not have the power to make these major changes to statutes that have been passed by Congress. Title IX also will infringe free speech rights of parents, students, teachers, professors, all across the country. Because if you don't want to use an incorrect pronoun now, you can arguably be brought up on Title IX charges, face suspension, face expulsion, or even worse, right? So you could be a senior in college, you paid $200,000 to get this education, you refuse to call a girl a he or a boy a she, and all of a sudden you're facing expulsion from your college and changing the entire trajectory of your future. That's what we're facing in this country. And so we need more state attorney generals, we need governors, we need parents, we need teachers all to stand up and fight against this rule.
Well, we sure do. All right, let's switch gears here to something else, something you guys are involved in. You're suing the Department of Education over segregation in Chicago. What's going on?
Yeah, so District 65 up in Evanston, Illinois, which is kind of the hotbed of liberalism, right? They have they've been at this for long before we were talking about anti-racism and equity in this country. They have had mandatory segregation in training, teacher trainings, in classroom settings. And we represent a very brave teacher who in 2019 filed a complaint with the Department of Education. They investigated this complaint, and they ultimately found that, yes, segregation was happening, and yes, as we all know, it violates the Civil Rights Act. And they went ahead and issued a letter of finding to that effect, saying that the school district had to stop. But then Biden comes in, he becomes our president, and 2 days later, the Department of Education withdrew that letter of finding. And so we filed a lawsuit in federal court. It is still pending. But we're also trying to get information from the Department of Education on why all of a sudden it did this about face. What now makes segregation in their minds legal when it has been unconstitutional and illegal in this country for decades, as it should have been? And so they're stonewalling us. They won't give us any information about why they withdrew that formal finding. And we were finally forced to actually turn to the courts just to get these documents. It's the same problem parents are having, a complete lack of transparency by our Department of Education and all of our K through 12 school districts throughout this country. I don't know why we have to fight so hard to get government records, but we have to keep going to court.
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea why you have to fight so hard, because these dirty communist scumbags want to keep them hidden. What can parents do? You're knee deep involved in this stuff. You know all the issues, all these fights, and I love what you guys do there. But if you're me, right, if you're my wife and this craziness is going on at my kid's school, what can I do? I feel powerless.
Yeah, one of the things that we've been trying to do to help parents is we conduct parent trainings. We have parent guidebooks. Educate yourself on the issues and on the law. The law can be very confusing, but it can also be a very powerful weapon. And I'm right there in the trenches with all of the parents that we help. I have a first and a fourth grader myself. And so I see these issues firsthand, and I feel just as passionate about them as the parents that come to us. And so they can find the guidebook at slfliberty.org, or they can always reach out, right? If you know the terminology, if you know your parental rights, then when you go into that school board meeting, when you go into that meeting with the principal, when you go meet the teacher about the curriculum, you at least just have some some additional tools in your toolkit to fight to save America's schools and protect your children, which we all know is the most important thing as a parent.
Yeah, it is. All right, we're switching gears on you again, Kim. Tell me about what you guys are doing with these Texas farmers who are being dumped on.
Oh my goodness, the administration just keeps it coming, right? It's this whole of government equity approach that we see in schools that we're talking about. We see it in every agency. And the USDA is not a stranger to this either. What they've done is they took $25 billion that Congress has appropriated for disaster relief. So in other words, you have a drought, you have a flood, anything that affects our farmers throughout this country and our food production source. And the USDA is supposed to dole that money out based on need. Well, they decided that white male farmers don't need that money as much as other farmers. And they've built out exclusions. And so if you're a white farmer, you're just simply not getting the same amount of money that other farmers are getting. And we've gone ahead and filed a lawsuit. This is not the first time we've had to sue the USDA for this. It is blatantly unconstitutional. And so we expect the court to rule quickly and swiftly in this case and enjoin the USDA from excluding people from its programs based simply on race and sex, as long as the USDA continues to define sex as a man or a woman, right? We'll see what happens as they take on the Department of Ed's definitions too, probably.
That racism is almost starting to sound systemic. That was the word they love to use, systemic. Okay, let's one more thing. The National Archives, they've been in the news a lot lately because it looks like they coordinated, collaborated with the Biden administration. But for many Americans, the National Archives, it sounds like something from a Nicolas Cage movie. What is the National Archives? What's going on with them?
So the National Archives is one of our federal agencies and departments that simply houses all of our federal records. And so when President Joe Biden was vice president and he left office, he has to give over his papers to the National Archives. And 4 years later, we as Americans can request to see those records. Joe Biden used pseudonym emails, right? So he made up these email addresses and he used them to conduct government business. That much we know because we've already obtained a number of those emails. But the American public needs to see what else is in those. What other government information was he passing through these unsecured Gmail email addresses? We've been asking the National Archives for these documents for years. We, again, had to finally file a lawsuit to try to get them. And as we get them, we'll release them to the public. We know that there's congressional committees trying to get them also. These are highly important documents because we know that, again, government business was being done through unsecure servers. What information had to be hidden that you had to use pseudonym emails for? Why not just do it above the board, right? That's something that all of us want to know.
Okay, I got to ask a dumb question before I let you go here, Kim, but how can they just say, no, it's our information, it's public record, so when Kim knocks on the door of the National Archives and says, I'd like to see this, they can just say, no, and you have to sue them? What?
They say, we're busy. So the response that we keep getting from every single federal agency is, we don't have enough money. We all know that the federal government has plenty of money. It has all of our money, right? Just got a whole bunch more after April 15th. And so they say, we're too busy, we don't have enough time, and we don't have enough resources. And so then we have to go to court and negotiate and negotiate and negotiate to get records that Congress has very clearly said we all have a right to see. And honestly, they should just be putting these out there on the website anyway. If they're public records, just give us access to them, and we'll leave you guys alone.
That's wild how often the public records aren't quite as public. Kim, thank you so much. Please keep going. Appreciate you guys. That's enough of that. Enough of the serious stuff. Have you ever fought an animal? Have you ever wanted to fight an animal? We have a light in the mood next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And I will tell you this. I can't speak for women, but as a dude, we think about fighting animals. We do. Look, I'm not alone in this. Every dude watching me right now is nodding his head. Maybe your wife is rolling her eyes at you, but you have. You've thought about it. What animal could you take in a fight? Could you take a lion? It's happened. Men have fought lions and won. Maybe I could fight a lion. I've been on record for years saying a cheetah, I could take a cheetah. They're like 130 pounds. I could take out a cheetah. I could. No one believes me, but I could. This MMA guy, Mike Dragic, he fought an alligator. That's amazing. I mean, it wasn't a very big one. I think I could. No, I could never. And then, look, this is not exactly his first time. This is like what he does. That was amazing. I want to know if I could do it. Probably not. Maybe I'll try. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.